If you hadn't heard, let me tell you that the US President Joe Biden will arrive in Ireland tonight. His plane Air Force One will land in Belfast, and tomorrow he will give a keynote speech at Ulster University in the city centre. Then it's off to Dublin, Louth and Mayo, where he will end his four-day trip. Along with him will be Democratic Congressman Brendan Boyle, whose ancestry is from Donegal. He's on the line this morning. Good morning to you. You're welcome.
Yes, wonderful to be back with you.
What does Joe Biden's determination to be in Ireland to mark 25 years since the Good Friday Agreement tell us about the priority that he puts on doing what he can to maintain the solidity of the peace here?
Well, I happen to know that it is very important to him personally. It is in many ways celebrating a commitment that began at least 25 years ago, really going back to when President Clinton first appointed a special envoy to kickstart the peace talks in the early 90s. Really, since then, presidents of both parties have committed themselves to playing an active role in keeping the peace going in Northern Ireland. But for this president in particular, and I know this because he has said it to me personally many times, just how much he cares very deeply about his Irish and Irish-American heritage.
It's unclear if he's going to meet the individual politicians north of the border in Belfast tomorrow. Do you think he should? Should he use the might of his office to meet in particular with the DUP, who are still refusing to go into government at Stormont despite the election last year?
Well, my understanding is he just met with them literally only a few weeks ago. All of them were in the White House. We were together in the East Room on St. Patrick's Day. They were there, and I believe he met with each of the leaders after that event. You know, the one challenge anytime a president of the United States travels to any country, there are enormous demands and requests coming from everywhere. I know myself, I fielded a number of requests from relatives to friends to acquaintances trying to get on the president's calendar. So you take that and you magnify it times a million if you're president. So I do not envy the important task that the scheduler makers have over at the White House.
Is it a problem, do you think, though, that for many in the DUP, they don't see the Democratic Party as honest brokers here? Some of them don't, at least. They hear Joe Biden making jokes about never wearing orange. They think your party has a predetermined outcome. You want a united Ireland. How does your party convince them that you can be trusted?
Well, it is funny reading and listening to a lot of this nostalgia about President Clinton 25 years ago. I noticed some of the people who today are praising President Clinton's even-handedness at the time 25 years ago were accusing him of being an IRA sympathizer. So I do tend to notice that whenever an American president gets involved, frankly, whether the president's a Democrat or a Republican, there are some allegations in some quarters that an American president has a bias in a certain direction. I think the reality is quite obviously otherwise, that this president, as all of his predecessors, have been fairly even-handed and, in the end of the day, attempting to forge and keep the peace.
I want to ask you about Joe Biden himself and his plans for the White House. You'll be aware that he told NBC over the weekend that he does plan to run again in 2024. Nothing official yet. Do you think that's a good idea, or do you think he should face a challenge for the nomination from within the Democratic Party?
I was one of the first members of Congress to officially endorse Joe Biden's candidacy for the presidency about this time 4 years ago. I strongly support him running again, not to get overtly political here, but I do believe that Donald Trump represents an existential threat to American democracy. And I thought leading into 2020, Joe Biden was the best candidate to beat him. And I still think that leading into 2024. So I hope he runs. I fully expect he will run. And I think you'll have a formal announcement probably sometime over the next couple months.
Okay. So he's not going to make it in Mayo.
Well, you know, I joke to him, the big commitment he should make in Mayo is to help Mayo finally win the Sam Maguire Cup. I think that would be I think that would be more of a crowd pleaser.
Well, he's going to a religious shrine in Knock, so he could maybe pray for a miracle or something there when he's there. But listen, is there really no one else in the Democratic Party who could win the presidency?
Oh, I wouldn't put it that way. What I will say, though, is if you look back over the last 50 years, whenever a president faces a strong primary challenge from within, it's typically not a good sign for the general election. That's part of why Jimmy Carter lost in 1980. It's part of why George Herbert Walker Bush, lost in 1992. I do not want a strong primary challenge to Joe Biden if he runs again. I think that would be a disaster for the Democratic Party.
I in no way want to sound ageist, so this isn't coming from me. This is coming from an opinion poll in the United States. 54% of people in an NBC poll thought that he did not have the necessary physical or mental strength or health to run for the presidency. What do you say to that?
Well, I believe that same poll later on, then when asked if the matchup were Joe Biden and Donald Trump, it showed Joe Biden winning. So sometimes even the same polls can have contradictory messages. But, you know, just a few weeks ago, I invited President Biden to come to my district in Philadelphia to present the annual White House budget proposal. He was kind enough to do that. I spent the entire day with him, an exhausting day. You know, I happened to be in my mid-40s. I was exhausted at the end of that day. That is every day for Joe Biden. And so anyone who wants to kind of challenge, you know, his ability to keep up, I would say try his schedule for just a few days. And I think you would probably have a newfound respect for the sort of vigor that he really has.
Is there a political benefit for him from this visit to Ireland over the next 4 days, do you think? How will it play at home?
Yeah, well, the primary reason why he's doing it really is, frankly, because it's so important to him personally. He's well aware of President Kennedy's trip 60 years ago, trips that have happened by American presidents since then, especially by Reagan and Bill Clinton, and even most recently Obama. So that's the primary reason why he's doing it. But at the same time, there certainly are tens of millions of Americans who, like myself, are very proud of their Irish ancestry, that it means a lot to them. And so I think, not with all of them, mind you, but with some, the next few days, I think, will strike a chord and can only have a positive benefit, even if that really isn't the primary reason why he's there.
And what does it mean to you to be here as part of this trip?
Yeah, well, I will say, I mean, as someone who, my father was born and raised in Donegal, my mother's side from Sligo and Mayo. So it is special to me. It does show just the very unique connection that Ireland and America has, that the Irish people and the American people have. It is one, literally a family. And so it's wonderful to have a president who, by his own being, typifies this.
Well, thank you for joining us on the programme this morning, and have a great trip. Congressman Brendan Boyle joining us live this morning. It's 8:52.